Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we will be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 76. Sava ayam brahma mahad vimrigya. Kaivalya nirvana sukhanubhuti. Priya suridva kalu matudeya. Atmarhaniyo vidikrid guruscha. Sava ayam brahma mahad vimrigya. Kaivalya nirvana sukhanubhutihi. Priya suridva kalu matuleya. Atmarhaniyo vidikrid guruscha. Sava ayam brahma mahad vimrigya. Kaivalya nirvana sukhanubhuti. Priya suridva kalu matuleya. Atmarhaniyo vidikrid guruscha. Savayam brahma mahad vimrigya. Kaivalya nirvana sukhanubhuti. Atmarhaniyo vidikrid guruscha. Vimrigya. Savayam brahma mahad vimigya. Kaivalya nirvana sukhanubhuti. Priya suridva kalu matuleya. Atmarhaniyo vidikrid guruscha. Vaishnavis. Savayam brahma mahad vimrigya. Priya Rigyal. Vaya Nirvana Sukhanu Bhuti. But Mahani Yovidi Krid Guru Sham. Sa, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Va, either. Ayam, Krishna. Brahma, the Supreme Brahman. Mahat Vimrigya, sought by great, great, saintly persons. Devotees of Krishna. Kaivalya Nirvana Sukha. Of liberation and transcendental bliss. Anubhutihi. For the realization. Priyaha. Very dear. Suhrit. The well-wisher. Va, of all of you Pandavas, Kalu, famous as, Matuleya, the son of your maternal uncle, Atma, heart and soul, Arhaniya, the most worshipable person, Vidikrit, giving direction. Guruhu, your spiritual master. Cha, end. Translation. How wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Parabrahman, Krishna, who is sought by great, great sages for the sake of liberation and transcendental bliss, is acting as your best well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, your heart and soul, your worshipable director, and your spiritual master. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Krishna can become the director and spiritual master of anyone who is serious about getting the mercy of Krishna. The Lord sends the spiritual master to train a devotee, and when the devotee is advanced, the Lord acts as the spiritual master within his heart. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna does not become the direct spiritual master unless one is fully trained by his representative spiritual master. Therefore, as we have already discussed, the Lord's representative spiritual master should not be considered an ordinary human being. The representative spiritual master never gives any false knowledge to his disciple, but only perfect knowledge. Thus, he is the representative of Krishna. Krishna helps as the guru or spiritual master from within and from without. From without, He helps the devotee as his representative, and from within, he talks personally with the pure devotee and gives him instructions by which he may return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Anmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Padantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. I humbly request the blessings and mercy of the senior Vaishnav so that I can speak according to our Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta, according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So, in the purport today, it is very much explaining who the spiritual master is and what is the function of the spiritual master. And so, in the early days, Srila Prabhupada was in New York City, and it was cold out. And the devotees were on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, or a walk with Srila Prabhupada. And they were asking different questions to Srila Prabhupada. And one devotee noticed that as Srila Prabhupada was walking, he would come up to where there was a thin layer of ice and water underneath. And Srila Prabhupada would take his cane and he would break the ice on top. And the devotees would ask him questions. And this devotee, he kept seeing Srila Prabhupada. He would walk further, and then he would see this ice, and he would break it with his cane. But he was doing it very deliberately. And so one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, you're breaking the ice. What are you doing? And Srila Prabhupada said, I'm returning the water to its natural position. So this is guru. In this material world, we're in darkness, tamaha, like there's so much fog out this morning. We could barely see Brahman after Mangalartik. You go outside, there's so much fog. So this material world is tamaha, ignorance. And us being the living entity, we've forgotten our spiritual condition. And we become materially conditioned. And the spiritual master comes to give us true sight again. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. It's like our eyes have cataracts and we're unable to see clearly. So the spiritual master comes trying to return us to our natural position, trying to open up our eyes with transcendental knowledge, with the lamp of knowledge. And Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Prani Patena Pariprasnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Gyanam Ganinas tatvadarshanaha. That one should take shelter of the spiritual master. But how should one take shelter of the spiritual master? Through submissive inquiry and service. But why take shelter of the spiritual master in that way? Because they are tatvadarshan. They have seen the truth. They've been to the spiritual world. If you go to another country, if you go to another place that you haven't been to before, you either get a map or you get a tour guide. And that tour guide will tell you, oh, don't go to this area, it's very bad. Go to this area, go see these sites, go here, go there. So the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. And through our submissive inquiry and service, the spiritual master will give us truth. It says in the purport that the spiritual master will give perfect knowledge, if we're willing to accept it. So Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij, that the living entity has been wandering all over the universe, going up to the heavenly planets, going down into the animal species. The living entity is going here and there. And during the travels, we get that association with Guru somehow or other through pious credits, we're searching, we get the mercy of Guru, and he gives us the Bhakti Lata Beej, the seed of devotional service. And we plant that seed within our heart, and we start taking care of that creeper. It starts growing to a little creeper. We take care that there's no weeds. And we try our very hardest and most seriousness to engage in the service of Guru. Now, there's three types of gurus. There's the Vartma Pradarshika Guru, one who shows the path. Then there's the Diksha Guru, also known as the Mantra Guru, and then there's the Shiksha Guru. So the Vartma Pradarshika Guru acts as somebody who shows the way. Sura Prabhu is my Vartma Pradarshika Guru. I remember when I was searching and I wrote to the BBT and he called my home and we had some very wonderful talks and he was convincing me about Krishna consciousness. So Sura Prabhu was my Vartma Pradarshika Guru. He was showing me the path. And then there's the Diksha Mantra Guru, or the Mantra Guru, who initiates us into the path, who gives us the holy name. And then later on, there can be so many Shiksha Gurus. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the first chapter, it says one may have many, many Shiksha Gurus. And Shiksha Gurus can also be the Lord within the heart. When it says here that when one becomes advanced, then the Lord will speak to one in the heart. So there was a very nice pastime with a great Vaishnav named Bilva Mangala Thakur. And it shows how he was getting the mercy of his different gurus. He was initiated by somebody named Somagiri, and he was a Brahmin. He was a first-class Brahmin. Somehow or other, he fell down with a prostitute named Chintamani. And one night, after Bilva Mangala Thakur, he performed his father's Shraddha ceremony. And he wanted so much to go see Chintamani, but there was this huge storm. The river swelled up. There was so much wind. And so he struggled to get outside, and he had to somehow cross the river. But he was so determined to get to Chintamani that he floated on what he thought was a piece of wood across the river. Actually, it was a corpse. Then he came to the home of Chintamani, and he didn't know how to get up because the front way was broken down, or there was something that fell down in the way, maybe a tree. And so he saw this rope, and he started climbing up the rope to get to the second level where Chintamani was. And actually, it was a snake. So he struggled so much, and he finally got to the prostitute, Chintamani. And Chintamani said, if you had this much determination to serve Krishna, you would be a pure devotee. And so Bilva Mangala Thakur, his whole heart was shattered. He was like, what am I doing? And so he proceeded to go to Vrindavan, and he followed the instructions of his Diksha Guru, Somagiri. And then he became very advanced when he was in Vrindavan. He was blind. And Krishna would come personally, talk with him, and give him instructions. And even once they touched hands in hands. So Bilva Mangala Thakur's life, we can see that we were in the modes of ignorance and passion. And somehow or other, we've gotten the mercy of a Vartma Pradarshika Guru. And then we go on to surrender to a Diksha Guru. And Jiva Goswami, he says that Diksha means stopping material life and starting to struggle for spiritual life. This is Diksha, becoming uninterested in material life. And because the living entity cannot hear the Supersoul directly, the spiritual master manifests to us. Prakash, he manifests. So the Supersoul is inside, but externally he comes as the spiritual master. So the guru is a representative of Krishna, and we should not see him as an ordinary human being. Otherwise, we may commit offenses. And there's a very instructive pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita. As we know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And Krishna demonstrated to us that everybody should take initiation. Everybody should take a guru. The Supreme Lord himself, Krishna, when he was living in Mathura, he accepted Sandipani Muni as his guru. And so the Krishna came down as Lord Chaitanya. He took shelter of Ishvarapuri. And Ishvarapuri was able to serve Lord Chaitanya in this way because he perfectly served his spiritual master. So in the Antya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a story of Ramachandrapuri. Now Ramachandrapuri and Ishvarapuri, they were disciples of Madhavendrapuri. And Madhavendrapuri, he is considered the gardener of our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. He sowed the seed, which later turned into the tree of Lord Chaitanya. So Madhavendrapuri, he was exhibiting his pastime of leaving this world. And Ramachandrapuri and Ishvarapuri, they would come and see him. And Madhavendrapuri, he would cry out, oh my Lord, I have not been able to surrender to you. I have not been able to go to Mathura and take shelter of Mathura. And he was crying like this. And Ramachandrapuri, he had an inclination towards the Mayavad philosophy. He was a mental speculator. And he started chastising his guru, thinking that he could instruct his guru. Ramachandrapuri was saying, why are you crying like this? Why are you speaking like this? You should fix your mind on Brahman. Nashochati nakankshati. There should be no lamentation. He was trying to instruct his guru. And Madhavendrapuri said, oh my Lord, I haven't been able to serve you. I haven't been able to take shelter in Mathura. This person, he's trying to instruct me, get away from me. I don't even want to see your face. If I see your face at the time of death, I won't be able to achieve my destination. So Ramachandrapuri was rejected by his spiritual master because he was creating an offense to his spiritual master. And Ishvarapuri would further, he would try to relish with his guru the sentiments that he was having. He would chant the Maha Mantra to his guru. He would try to help his guru absorb himself in Krishna. Even so, Ishvarapuri would bathe and wash the stool and urine from the body of Madhavendrapuri, who at that time he was so weak he couldn't take care of himself. So by Ishvarapuri taking so much association with his spiritual master, not just association, but serving his spiritual master with his life and soul, he was able to get the topmost benediction to later serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whereas Ramachandrapuri, we know that later on, when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, Ramachandrapuri, he went to go visit Lord Chaitanya and see the devotees there. And he met Jagadananda Pandit, and he had Jagadananda Pandit get some prasadam. And what Ramachandrapuri would do, he would try and feed the devotees so much, and then he would criticize them, saying, oh, just see, I knew Lord Chaitanya's associates, they're eating too much. Just see, you're all a bunch of sense gratifiers. You're supposed to be sannyasis, renounced, but you're just sense gratifiers. So Ramachandrapuri, he was such a criticizer that he wanted to criticize Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to criticize Krishna himself. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that when one is rejected by a spiritual master or commits offenses to the spiritual master, then their heart becomes covered with material desires and they start criticizing. So he even wanted to criticize Krishna himself, but he couldn't. He couldn't criticize Lord Chaitanya. He couldn't find any fault in Lord Chaitanya. So one day he saw some ants in Lord Chaitanya's room. And he said, oh, there must be sweetmeats here. Just see, you're eating sweet candy. And he started telling all the devotees, everybody around Jagannath Puri, that just see, Lord Chaitanya, he claims to be such a perfect sannyasi, but he's sneaking sweets at night. So Lord Chaitanya, he showed us how to deal with our guru's godbrothers. He didn't try to argue with Ramachandrapuri. He could have. He could have easily tried to argue with Ramachandrapuri, saying, no, there's no sweetmeats here, there's nothing here. He could have tried to tell all the others that, he's just making a lie about me. But Lord Chaitanya showed us by his example that those who are God brothers of our spiritual master are on the same level of our spiritual master and should be respected as such. So what Lord Chaitanya did is he reduced his eating by half. And he was even eating so much half that he would give half of his food to Govinda. And Lord Chaitanya said that if you try to give me more than this, then I'll immediately leave. You'll never see me again. And the devotees, they were hurt by this. Oh, the Lord, the Supreme Lord, he can't eat more than half. And so even Ramachandrapuri, he started criticizing Lord Chaitanya. Oh, just see, now you're eating too less. You're not keeping your body healthy. So he was constantly criticizing. And Lord Chaitanya, he was always submissive and humble because he saw that his guru's god brother is as good as the guru. This is Vaishnava etiquette, and this is very important to us to understand this Vaishnava etiquette. Otherwise, we'll commit offenses. And so Ramachandrapuri, after some days, he left, and the devotees had a huge festival and ate lots of prasadam. Haribol. So, this is the secret of success, is serving the spiritual master, is pleasing the spiritual master. Yasya prasadan, yasya prasado bhagavati. We're singing every morning that by the mercy of our guru, we are getting Krishna. Without the mercy of our guru, we cannot obtain Krishna. And this is the success of spiritual life, is serving the spiritual master. One time I was with my Guru Maharaj and I was deliberating. He was having a program at a house. It was kind of like a disciples meeting. And I was still aspiring to him. And I was thinking, oh, I have to be back at this time. I have to do this and this. But he really wanted me to come to this disciples meeting. And so he came up to me and he said, can you stay for the disciples meeting? And I said, yes, Maharaj, whatever you want. And he said, exactly. And he hit me in the face hard with his japa mala. So, from that moment, I understood that whatever the guru wants, that's what it means to surrender to guru. We're saying so many prayers in the morning to the guru. We start Mangalarti, prayers to the guru, guru puja. We come and we say that we want our mind to be one with the instructions of the spiritual master. Arna kodhiyo mane asha. We don't want any other desire entering our heart other than the spiritual master's desires. And we should be feelingly saying these prayers. And it's so easy to take the guru cheaply. Put a picture up in your home of your guru. Maybe offer some things here and there. And accepting initiation is a very deep thing. It's one of the most important things that we'll ever do in our life. And how we serve the spiritual master, that's how successful we'll be in spiritual life. And so the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. Because we cannot engage with the Supersoul directly, Supersoul manifests as the guru. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's also a very wonderful instruction on who's empowered by the Lord. There was a great Vaishnava named Nakula Brahmachari. And it was said that Lord Chaitanya, along with the guru, their only desire is to save the fallen conditioned souls. The guru doesn't want to see anybody suffer. So the guru is trying his best to bring everybody back to their original position of Jivera Sarupa Hoy Krishna Nityadas, back to the eternal service of Krishna. And so Lord Chaitanya, when he was here, he would deliver all the living entities in three different ways. Sakshat, directly. Directly people would interact with Lord Chaitanya or see Lord Chaitanya. Avir Bhav, he would manifest wherever Lord Nityananda was dancing, whenever there was kirtan in Srivas Thakur's place, whenever Mother Sachi would offer prasadam, and whenever Raghava Pandit would offer prasadam, Lord Chaitanya was personally there, even though devotees couldn't see him. But then there is Avesh. He would personally empower living entities with his love, with the same love that he had, so that by meeting that devotee, they would get the same interaction that they got with Lord Chaitanya, with Krishna. And in the purport to Nakula Brahmachari's pastimes, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that one cannot spread Krishna consciousness unless they're empowered with the Krishna Shakti of the Lord. So Nakula Brahmachari, he was fully empowered by the Lord. He even had the Lord's complexion, golden colored, and he had the same sattvika bhav. He would cry like a mad, he would cry, he would laugh, he would chant like a madman, he would make the roaring of a thunderous cloud. And devotees would go and see him and get the same mercy as if they would personally meet Lord Chaitanya. But Shivananda Sen, he had some doubts in his mind that I don't believe that Nakula Brahmachari is the same as Lord Chaitanya, is empowered by Lord Chaitanya. So I'm going to go, and if he can tell me my worshipable mantra that I secretly chant, then I will accept him. So he went to where Nakula Brahmachari was, and there were so many people there that some people there, they couldn't even see Nakula Brahmachari, but they were all gathered there around Nakula Brahmachari. And Nakula Brahmachari, he could understand that Shivananda Sen was there. And so he sent four people saying, go find Shivananda Sen and bring him to me. And so they started crying out, Shivananda Sen, Shivananda Sen, where are you? Nakula Brahmachari is calling you. So Shivananda Sen, he went to Nakula Brahmachari, and Nakula Brahmachari told him that you are reciting the Gaur Gopal mantra. You should not have any more doubt. And so Shivananda Sen, he offered his respectful obeisances and from that time served Nakula Brahmachari. So the spiritual master is Krishna, Achintya Beta Beta Tattva. He's so dear a servant of Krishna that he is considered to be one with Krishna. Not in an impersonal Mayavadic way, but in a Achintya Beta Beta Tattva way. And this can be difficult because of all the tattvas, the hardest to understand is Jiva Tattva, Shiva Tattva, and Guru Tattva because of their Achintya Beta Beta understanding that they're one, but they're different from the Lord. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first chapter, Srila Prabhupada said that one can make the most quick advancement if we properly understand that the Guru is Krishna. So if there's any other comments or questions that you would like to ask, Bhrigupati Prabhu will ask a question and then he will answer it because he is an exalted soul.
Prabhu, thank you. Very beautiful class. So my question is this, like, you know, you're making the point that how important it is to worship the spiritual master, take shelter of the spiritual master, pray to the spiritual master, like that. And that's, you know, and you gave different statements, Shastric statements support that. And of course, there's that famous exchange between Lord Shiva and his wife when she asked him, what's the topmost form of worship? And he went on to say, well, the topmost form of worship is worshiping Lord Vishnu. And, but even
Radhananam, yeah, Sarvesham, Vishnu, Radhananam Param.
Exactly. But even more important than that is worshiping that which is in relation to Vishnu, the devotee. So my question is this then, that, why does Krishna even bother in the Bhagavad Gita? He's saying, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. It's said twice. There's probably about another half dozen or so verses you could find if you just even quickly went through the Bhagavad Gita, 6 to 12 verses where Krishna's emphasizing the importance of thinking of him, remembering him, and Prabhupada in the purports doesn't, you know, say anything otherwise. So why?
Because the spiritual master's instructions are always to think of Krishna. The instructions of the spiritual master are none different than the spiritual master. And the spiritual master isn't saying, think of me. Prabhupada, there's a statement that Prabhupada said that I'm not coming here saying that worship me. I'm saying worship Krishna.
Well, it sounds like you should be saying that. It sounds like you should be saying that because from all these different things we're hearing, it sounds like it's more important and more potent to worship the spiritual master than even to, you know, and remember the spiritual master than it is to worship Krishna and remember Krishna. So, you know, it's like, is it, I mean, it could be confusing a little bit.
Archita Prabhu will answer.
The motivation for spiritual life is to achieve the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But following his instructions, you, one who's intelligent knows that to get to that goal, you have to take shelter of Krishna's representative. Krishna says that directly. One who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but one who's a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. So if you want to achieve the goal, you have to do it in the way that Krishna recommends. It's just like Prahlad Maharaj. He knew that Lord Nrisimhadeva was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He felt secure because Lord Nrisimhadeva was protecting him, so he was not afraid of Hiranyakashipu. But he also knew that to get Lord Nrisimhadeva's mercy, I have to serve Narad Muni, who is my guru. I can't jump over. It's not like you go directly to Lord Nrisimhadeva or go directly to Krishna. You have to go through the channel that they establish. So this channel established by Krishna is that if you want me, you have to go through my devotee. Don't come to me directly. So the intelligent person wanting Krishna does that. You find Krishna's representative that you can surrender to, and you try to achieve Krishna in that way. But the goal is to achieve Krishna. It's not that we're looking around for some ordinary person to surrender to. We are surrendering to a special person in order to get the supreme person.
And as Sriman Archita Prabhu also points out often in his classes, is that when we get to the spiritual world, it's not that we also directly start serving Krishna. Even in the spiritual world, we are still serving our spiritual master who's engaging us in the service of Krishna, but in a very more direct way. It's not that we get to the spiritual world and say, oh, forget my spiritual master. Spiritual master is there in the spiritual world. Mataji, Emily.
Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. So this is something, now that I'm back on the wonderful world of Facebook, that I see coming up quite a bit. And just curious what the devotees here would have to say about the controversy of, you know, Prabhupada obviously is a pure devotee, a great acharya, and his disciples are in different levels of advancement. So there's the parampara system, and then there's different levels of advancement. And so how are we to accept one of his disciples as a guru who is not at the same level of advancement as Prabhupada, which I think they would all admit? Any comments on that? I would love to hear.
Nectar of instruction. In the purports, Srila Prabhupada does explain that one should take shelter of an uttama adhikari, one who is a, you know, topmost devotee. And I was reading it this morning. Srila Prabhupada said that one should not, if one takes shelter of a madhyama or a kanishta adhikari, then their advancement will be very troublesome. So we have to take shelter of an uttama adhikari. But Srila Prabhupada also explains who an uttama adhikari is in that purport. And he says that anybody who is constantly thinking of Krishna and trying to spread Krishna consciousness, which, you know, many disciples of Srila Prabhupada are doing, then they're considered uttama adhikaris. So it's not that, you know, we definitely want to take shelter of somebody that we have complete faith and trust in. And those personalities, we want them to be at top spiritual advancement. But there are many in our movement that are uttama adhikaris. Archita Prabhu, would you want to say something?
How do you know that they're not on the same level? It's a serious question. How do we know? We can't assume that. Just like if you look at Prabhupada's own life, now we accept that Prabhupada is a pure devotee. Nobody would dispute that. But when he was with his contemporaries, they didn't necessarily see that. They saw he was a nice businessman who was interested in helping out the Gaudiya Math, and he was very knowledgeable, knows a lot of verses and stuff. They weren't thinking that he was, you know, Jagat Guru, the Acharya of the whole world. They were not thinking like that, guarantee you. As a matter of fact, even when he established himself in that position, they were not thinking like that. And therefore, Prabhupada said, don't go to them, because they will say anything they say different from what I tell you, you'll be confused. So to assume that there's no one in ISKCON on the level of Prabhupada, meaning being a pure devotee, is just, it's an incorrect assumption that will get you in trouble. He started out his class by saying that even when you know the spiritual master's god brother or disciple, whatever, is not, even if they show the symptoms of not being still, you approach them with the right mood. That was Lord Chaitanya's mood that he spoke about in the class. So to go around assuming that there's nobody in ISKCON that's a pure devotee, it will get you in trouble. That's the fast way to commit offense. Better, I always say, there's two mistakes you can make. To accept somebody who is a pure devotee as not being a pure devotee, and to accept somebody who is not a pure devotee as being a pure devotee. It's better to make the second mistake. Because if you accept somebody who is not a pure devotee as a pure devotee, you're not going to offend them. But if you go around thinking that I know that nobody here is a pure devotee, you're going to make offense, guaranteed. So better to take the safe position. You're not going to lose anything by accepting somebody who is a pure devotee who is not a pure devotee. You're just not going to offend them. And that's a safe position. But if you go around thinking in your heart and your mind that I don't think anybody in this kind is a pure devotee, you're guaranteed you're going to make an offense, and that's going to hold you back. No, but pure devotee is pure devotee. Prabhupada said it himself. Siddha is siddha. There are three ways of being siddha. Nitya siddha, you never have fallen down. Sadhana siddha, you fell down and by sadhana you come back to the perfect position. And kripa siddha. You don't perform the sadhana perfectly, but by the special mercy of the spiritual master or Krishna, you come back to the perfect platform. Prabhupada had a conversation like this. He said, siddha is siddha. Perfect is perfect. It doesn't matter how you got there. So it's not that there's a distinction amongst the perfect. You know, you're perfect, but you're not as good as that one. No, perfect is perfect. So you have to accept if you say yes, I think there's somebody in this kind of, then you have to say they're perfect. There's no distinction between them and Prabhupada or even Krishna. That's the point. If you're a pure devotee of Krishna, you have to be accepted as Krishna himself. Because pure devotee means pure in purpose. The same purpose is there as the Lord. Whatever purpose Krishna has in this world, that's the same purpose as pure devotee has. And therefore, you cannot criticize them. I mean, I've driven this point home so many times. You cannot criticize a pure devotee. Even if they say something that you say, well, they made a mistake. He misquoted the verse. That's not a mistake. Everything the pure devotee does is exactly what Krishna wants him or her to do. And therefore, it's perfect. Just like the Pandavas. You could criticize Bhimasena. He wanted to smash, you know, Duryodhana. He wanted to rip his heart out. He said that. You could say, what kind of horrible thing is that? He's not a pure devotee. How could he have such a desire to rip somebody's heart out? But that's the mood that Krishna wanted him to have. You see? So therefore, it was perfect.
Spavas Prabhu.
I think in all this we should also understand that Prabhupada has a unique position. He's the Acharya, founder Acharya of ISKCON and BBT. So regardless if you are a pure devotee, we should surrender at the lotus feet of the Acharya. And the Acharya, he actually sets the example. You can see what Prabhupada has accomplished. Even while he's not here physically, Krishna consciousness movement is just spreading like wildfire. So that's the difference. Okay, you can be a pure devotee, but are you an Acharya? Prabhupada makes joking like that. There's sometimes a guru or a sadhu may live in a little village and he calls himself Jagat Guru. And everybody goes, what? So the difference is Prabhupada is Jagat Guru. He is the Acharya. And this is the difference. And we're fortunate to have his association. And we should all surrender to his lotus feet, whether you're a Mahabhagavat or whatever you may be.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki? Jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki.